Well, if somebody tracks it down at Eichler's, then you can buy it too, but I don't know if you'll be able to track it down, David. All right, we are on Gimlum and Aleph at the top. The fourth line down. Amarleh. This is talking about, of course, we're talking about Grusha L'Kohen Gadol. And well, does she require a chalitza or doesn't she require a chalitza? Right, of a not Grusha, an Amona. Amona L'Kohen Gadol, does she require a chalitza, does she not require a chalitza? Again, because we're talking about a case where she fell to Yibum, and she's forbidden because she's Zora ready to him. It says, Lo Tiyesh Tameis Achutza Leish Zor. The wife of the deceased should not be beyond, outside to a foreigner, but she's foreign to her already. Because he's a Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to marry her. So the question is whether chalitza is necessary or not. So the worst trend till now is that, let's take it from the top line. Rebun Barachia Bolikum Rebbe Zira, Amon Lekoin Go, Mausha Titzricha Chalitza, does she require chalitza? Omar, again, it should be lay. Omar lay, Epsha Lomar Kedusha Toibsin Bo. Is it possible to say on one hand that marriage does take effect on her? Vatoimer Enetu Chalitza, you're going to say it does not require, she does not require chalitza? She certainly does require chalitza. Chalitza must be essential. Omar lay, so he retorted to him, hey, I got a counterproof. And this is a good one. You got to give him credit for this one. Hare Islandis. An Islandis is a woman who is incapable of giving birth. I don't know exactly translated into English. But she's not capable of ever having children. And it's known. So Hare Islandis, Kedushin Toib Simba, she can be married. She's a woman. She can be married. Vatar Menetzich Chalitza, but if the brother married an Islandis of his own volition, and then he died, so his wife, the islandess, is not required to do neither yibum nor chalitza because the whole concept has to do with fertility, and she's clearly infertile, right? Now, therefore, says the Gemara, the Chora, one of the Kohen Gadol, should be in the same parameter. Omar Leitzli said, no, it's not the same parameter. Hare islandess mitam ocher hod seisa. An islandess should be precluded from yibum for another reason, because it says, asher tele. One who can give birth, Yotza Zushena Yoletis, as opposed to this world girl, the islandess who cannot give birth. But Amon L'Kohen Gadol, perhaps that does require Yibum, Chalitza, and if you did try to affect the Yibum might indeed work. Alright, so we leave it up in the air. We don't come to any conclusion on Amon L'Kohen Gadol. The bottom line, she does require Chalitza. The important notes that came here bring that she does require Chalitza because marriage can apply between Amon L'Kohen Gadol, and therefore Chalitza is required. Now, getting back to the issue which we're discussing primarily yesterday, we derive all the forbidden relationships that they're not susceptible to Yibum from your wife's sister. But just like your wife's sister, the prohibition pertains regardless of whether she's your brother's wife or not. So to all the other rights, they pertain regardless of whether it's your brother's wife or not, right? So Achat, the law made, B'kharayis Me'achos Ishtol Iser, instead of learning all of them from your wife's sister, to prohibit Yibum, L'mat K'harayis Me'ashasachiv Lo'ether. Learn it out from your brother's wife, which is mutter in the case of Yibum, right? If you're allowed to marry your brother's wife, even though she's an erva in the case of Yibum, so why not say the same thing by all the other rights? If your aunt is married to your brother, also let her be mutter in the case of Yibum. Just like Yibum cast away the prohibition on brother's wife, let it cast away all the other prohibitions as well. So it says, we learned the double prohibition from a double prohibition, meaning your sister's wife, your wife's sister, who's also your brother's wife, has two Yisurim on her. That's different than your brother's wife in and of herself, who only has one Yisur on her. So therefore we learn at any time there's an additional prohibition besides the brother's wife aspect on this woman. It's learned out from wife's sister, where just like wife's sister is not susceptible to Yibum, so to any other Erva situation is not susceptible to Yibum. Because we learn out double Yisur from a double Yisur, as opposed to a single Yisur, right? As opposed to learning out a case where there's an additional Isser from the solitary Isser, the single Isser of Esha Sachiv, of your brother's wife, which is permitted in the case of Yibum. Okay? Rabbi Lezer Shem Rabbi Avun said, a slightly different spin on the same issue. Anything which comes as a result of a catalyst, as a result of a cause, Bata Agoyim Bata Isser. If the cause disappears, the prohibition disappears. And here the cause of prohibition on your brother's wife was the fact that she, your brother, was alive. Now your brother died, so then she's permissible, right? Something which does not come because of a reason, even though the cause is canceled, the prohibition remains. Which basically is not exact, but what it means is that your wife's sister, or for that matter, any other type of na'arayas, there was no catalyst which was causing it to be this way. It happened that way a long, long time ago, either from birth or from some external situation which is not impacted upon by your brother's death. So therefore, the cause did not go away, the prohibition remains in effect.
It's not really analogous, because a wife's sister has no chiyuv, has no mitzvah to marry her after the wife dies.
Right.
And in Yibum there is.
Right. It's not 100% analogous. Right. Agreed. Were it 100% analogous, we would have had no question to begin with. We're trying to show why it's similar enough. In other words, wife, sister to all the other, why it's dissimilar enough. Wife, sister from brother's wife, and therefore by association, all the other rites which are similar to wife, sister, that Yibum should not apply in those areas. But you're right, it has to be Havamina. You're explaining the Havamina. Okay? Says the Gemara, Umay Yisloch, what's the case where, I forgot what Gemara was asking, one second. So, what's an example of where Dovashayna Bar Machma is going, so which doesn't come because of the cause? Ma'islach, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. What are these cases? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Boon, can go on El Chamesh and say Noshim. These 15 women mentioned in our Mishnah. Shalotom Arbito Achlo, don't say his daughter. Achlo Nisis Lachi, before she married his brother, Asura Lo, she was also to her father. Now, Nisis Lachi, now she married the brother, and the brother died. Muteris Lo, you're going to say she became all of a sudden permissible to him? Doesn't make any sense. Since the prohibition was not contingent on the brother's marriage to this girl, so therefore, when the brother dies childless, neither does the prohibition fall off as a result of that. Okay? Now, it's interesting, the whole Bavli, in the whole first few blot of Yevamos, from my limited knowledge of Yevamos, discusses the concept of Asei Docha Lo Saseh. Yeah, that's the primary discussion. But the mitzvah Saseh, if Yibum can push off a Lo Saseh of the very similar, it ain't here. Maybe it's coming up, but it ain't here yet. So, I don't know. That may or may not be significant. Again, maybe it's coming up. What do I know? But, so far it's not here. Okay? So in any event, so says the Gemara, Levi Bar Susia, boy kumira Rebbe. Levi Bar Susia satisfied Rebbe the following. Nisei Shesha Sri Noshim. Let's add another woman to our Mishnah. Now, to the best of my knowledge, it is in fact true that the Maseres Rishas here is blank, and it's not blank because these things don't appear in the Bavli, as Reb Meir correctly pointed out last night. It's just that the guy was lying down on the job. So, but to the best of my knowledge, this question is not brought down in the Bavli. He asked, "Kumi Rebbe from the Rebbe, Nisnei Sheshes Reinoshim. I want to add another woman to our list in the Mishnah, and the 16th one I want to add is the following: Anusas Imo." This is a woman who was Imo Anusas Aviv, a woman who was raped by his father to produce him. In other words, he was born out of wedlock. Okay, let's see. One second, let's find the case here.
The woman wasn't married.
No, the woman wasn't married. Well, okay, I want to find the case. Well, give me a second. Here it is. Okay, you have here Shimon. This goes this way. Yaakov raped. Whenever this is marriage, like a little house, a diamond means rape. Okay, so Yaakov raped Dinah and had a son Shimon. Okay. In the meantime, this same Dina married Yaakov's other son, Reuven, who she was not related to.
Why not?
How is she related?
Because she's not Eno.
Because she's not a mother, nor is she the wife of Yaakov.
Right.
Because she was raped by Yaakov, right? Okay, or in the modern parlance, she was Yaakov's girlfriend. But she never became related by parentage or by marriage to Reuven. So therefore, she could marry Reuven, Shimon's brother, half-brother, and when Reuven dies, of course, Shimon can't be miabim her because she's his mother, right? Okay? Now, this is according to opinion, so ask the Gemara again. Let's mention 16th woman. Imo, his own mother, Anusa Savi, was raped by his father, Nusualach, he was married to his brother, Me'avi, on his father's side. Amar Leisa Rebbe said, Nikar Oso Ish, this person is recognizable, Shein Lo Moch B'Kod Kora, that he has no brain in his head. In other words, what a klutz kasha you're asking. Okay? They weren't softies in the old days. V'lama Amar Leisa, Why did he say this, strident statement? So it says, when I begin to Rabbi Yehuda, because of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda oser banusa savim vuta savim. Rabbi Yehuda asers the, a person to marry his father's rape victim, or his father's seduction victim, or his father's living girlfriend, whatever the case may be. So therefore, this case doesn't exist according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so that's why it's not mentioned. Says the Gemara, oh, come on, boo, boo, boo. V'lo modi Rabbi Yehuda dim shen kidesh k'shetavsevo kiddushin. This is not an Isser chimisa. This is an Isser lav. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a skila, a kares. It's a lot. So he's prohibited to marry his father's girlfriend. But it's not a lot. Sorry, it's not a chiyuv misa, so therefore marriage works. So if marriage works, this would be susceptible to yibum merchalitza, right? So it says the Gemara, v'lo'gam, v'lo'med Rabbi Yehuda shim kiddush etuf so kiddushin, ela begin Rabbi Yehuda, ela begin the tinon. So why is Metra Mishnah? So it's because later on Dav Zayin in Halacha Hey, we're going to say Shesh Arayas Chamrus Me'elu. There are 6 Arayas which are more severe than those enumerated in our Mishnah. They're more severe. They're more stringent Arayas. And they Bimnei Nesuas La'Achirim Tzorosei Mutaros. Even if they're married to other women, even to other men, I mean, they're married to other men other than his brother, he's allowed to marry the co-wife. For example, if his mother is married to, it's really not directly related to Yibum. It's his mother, but this, okay, it's just the Mishnah later on discusses it. Derech Agav. If his mother is married to another man, not his father anymore, and this person married besides his mother has another wife, 2 co-wives. So then, even though his mother, of course, he can't marry, if this other guy dies, he can marry his mother's co-wife. Got that? Reuven was, I can show the case inside, but let's try and do it outside. Reuven was the daughter, the son of Leah. Leah, after having given birth to Reuven, to Yaakov, went and married Esav. Okay? Another woman went and married Esav, right? Let's say Shprinza. So now, if Esav dies, although Leah, of course, can't marry Reuven because she's Reuven's mother, Shprinza can marry Reuven. Okay? So that's true. So it says more, since we have that Mishnah later on, the Tanya Rabbi Chiya said the following, Imicholosli Nosei Lo'achid Shelo Ba'Aveira, if they can marry the brother without any sin, Soroseim Peturos Mina Chalitza, then their co-wives are Pat Mina Chalitza, Umina Yibum. Now, It's a very interesting case, Rav Chiya said. Rav Chiya said, of these six arayas, if there's a conceivable case in which one of them can marry the brother later, in other words, that Mishnah is talking about where the other husband is not at all related, right? The husband who married his mother and another wife is not related at all to this guy who now, upon the demise of that husband, wants to marry the co-wife who wasn't his mother. But let's say, if it's conceivable that one of those six women mentioned in that mission later on can marry the brother of this guy, and then the brother deceases, dies, then in that case, they pater the tzoros, their co-wives, in achlitim neibum. Now, of course, and where do you have such a cool case? Your mother can't marry your brother, right? Generally speaking, your mother can't marry your brother. Again, assuming it was your mother, legitimate mother, who married your father, so she can't marry your brother, right? Because she is, even if she's not the mother of that brother, she's the father's wife. And the father's wife is forbidden to a son. So it says, there's only one case which falls into that parameter where, technically speaking, this person, even though she's an erva to him, could marry his brother, and therefore the co-wife in that situation is part of Minayibu. Okay? Are you following so far?
Why part of
Minayibu? Well, because there's only one case which this works. Because the case is, Ein l'cha ela ima anusas aviv, our case, the live-in girlfriend of his father, who's nesua l'achim aviv, who can marry his brother from his father's side. Same thing. It said anusas aviv and futas aviv, the same status. It said that before. Yeah.
Oh, yes, we did.
They're both the same.
Okay.
Yes, makes no difference, okay? The morality of the issue is the same. So an amen. So this is the only case in which it's possible. And here's a picture. Was this a picture?
They're all married in that picture.
No, yeah, this is not the picture. Sorry. Scratch that. There's no picture of this one. Okay. So in any event, so this is the case here over the, but this is the case actually. The case where you have such a possibility where it's a severe erva is where Dina, who was never married to Yaakov, can go and marry Reuven, Yaakov's son, by another wife, right? So in that case, if Dina were to have another co-wife, so then that co-wife would be Potter from Chalitza, from Yibum. Despite the fact, and this is where Bichia's point is, despite the fact that there was no relationship at all whatsoever. In other words, the Reuven was not at all related to Shimon, and the Reuven had two wives, one of which was Shimon's mother, right? The other wife, Shimon would be allowed to marry, but since Reuven is Shimon's brother, therefore, if there's another co-wife besides Shimon's mother, Dina, so that co-wife is part of Mina Chalitza Mina Yibum. Okay? That's because of that relationship, the brother relationship. Okay?
They're half brothers.
They're half brothers, right?
So, there's no Yibum required. There's no,
they're half brothers from the father. There is Yibum required. Because of the father. So, said Gemara, basically, because of the Shtikl Torah, because Rabbi Chiya had this whole drosha to say about this case, that this is only when the case of the Shesh Arayas Chamuros, in which where it's conceivable that this Arayas Chamura to Shimon, his mother, can marry his brother and exempt son of Chalitza Yibum, so that's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Says Gemara, what? Ha! Says Gemara, Loma lo Tanisa. So why is not mentioned in our Mishnah? Begin to Tanisa Rabbi Chiya? Well, Nisdine! Because Rabbi Chiya wanted to say something about it, Shtikl Torah, we're not going to mention our Mishnah. Koshke Nisdine! We should certainly say it. It obviously is a valid case of where there's no Chalitza Yibum. Why is not mentioned our Mishnah? So it says, it's talking a good question. So it says, well, begin to Tanisa, because we learned later on a very fascinating thing. Later on in Masechta, it says in the second parak, that on all these cases of the 50 women in the first Mishnah, it says if she was married to one of his brothers and this erva, And the Erva's sister was married to another one of his brothers. And they both fell simultaneously for Yibum, so then he can marry, he can do Yibum on the second one. This is a fascinating case. It really is. Shows the beauty of Yivamas. Okay? Look, here's Levi, right? Levi is one of the, Levi had a son, Don. Don was married to Rachel. So Rachel is Levi's daughter-in-law, right? Rachel and Leah were sisters. After Don, Levi's son, died, Rachel went and married her uncle by marriage, Reuven, right, who's Levi's brother. Leah, her sister, married Shimon, another one of Levi's brothers. Now, Reuven and Shimon both died in a car accident simultaneously. So even though Levi may not marry Rachel, because Rachel was once his daughter-in-law, he may marry Leah. They do Hebrew, they say marry. He may marry the two Miyabim Leah. Why? Because albeit Leah is Rachel's sister, but if it's not a co-wife, it's a wife of another brother. So there's no reason not to marry Leah, right? So to be Miyabim Leah. So he's mutter to one, to the sister, but not to her. You can't say that in a case where, and here it gives another case, a similar case, another example of the same thing. But he can't say it in our case. Well, this is a case where why is she forbidden here? What arias is she here? It's his mother-in-law. Okay, same idea here. That Levi's mother-in-law, Rachel, went and married, after her husband died, went to marry Reuven, his brother. And at the same time, her sister, Leah's sister, Rachel's sister, Leah, went to marry another brother, and they both died simultaneously. So even though Levi can't marry his own mother-in-law, he can marry his mother-in-law's sister, right? His mother-in-law's sister is not forbidden to him. So in any event, those cases all work. All the 15 women in the Mishnah, if you had a case of two sisters, one of which was the Erva and one of which was not, and they both fell simultaneously to Yibum, he can Miyabim one even though he couldn't be Miyabim the other. The only case that does not work is this case over here. The case of Anusa Saviv, and that's why Anusa Saviv is not mentioned in our Mishnah. Because how is that going to work? Yaakov raped Dina, right? And they had a son, Levi, right? And Levi's brother Shimon, Levi's brother Reuven, then married Dina, right? Okay, so far so good. And then Shimon, another brother, married Dina's sister Leah, right? But he can't marry. He now, if the Reuven and Shimon both die in the car crash, he can neither be Miyabim Dina, his mother, nor Leah, because Leah is what to him? His aunt. No, a chosimo. It's his aunt. So in this case, he can't marry the sister, okay? Because the sister here of his mother is his aunt, okay? So that's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about the 15 cases in which, and if the sister of this Erva is married to another one of the brothers, you can marry that, you can be Miyabim that sister, right? Because it's not a co-wife, it's a different situation. But in this case, the case of Anusas Aviv, you can't marry, you can't be Miyabim the Erva's sister, because the Erva's sister ends up being your aunt, and you cannot be Miyabim your own aunt. Okay? See, we're back in the thick of things. Isn't everybody excited to be learning Yevamos? So it says, it happens to be cute. So again, Avikita Tina Chosu Shiyavimta Ocholetzim Bishabemes, since it says about all the 15 cases in the first Mishnah, that the sister who's Yevama, or as well, in other words, where the two brothers die in a car crash, can either do Chalitza or Yibum, Vat Mishkach Bekulon, if it works by all 15. That achosah it should be. Shivimta misyabem is that the sister who is Yavam can be misyabem chutz, with the exception of imo, meimo anusa saviv, from his mother who was raped by his father, nesu alachi meaviv, was married to his brother from his father. In that case, it doesn't work, as we proved over here. So therefore, that case is not enumerated in the first Mishnah. Okay, now the Gemara gets super lumdish. You ready for super lumdish? We haven't had this in a long time, either Bavli or Yerushalmi. Yitzchak bar Yistiyah. Yitzchak bar Amar Rishim et Lakish, Rishim et Lakish wanted to say 16 women in the first mission as well, but not a different one. He wanted to say, it should say, Chalutza Poteres Sarasa. Now this is a very interesting thing. What it means is that it's a complicated case. I don't know why he didn't draw it, but if you have Reuven did chalitza, Reuven had a brother Shimon. Shimon died. Okay, he had a wife. Shimon had a wife, Shprinza. Okay, so now Reuven did chalitza on Shprinza. Despite that, Shprinzer went and married a third brother, Levi. Levi had two wives, though, Shprinzer and Yenta. Okay? So now, when Levi dies, of course he's going to die because he's a sinner. When Levi dies, so now, Reuven does not do Chalitza, does not have to do Chalitza Yibum on either of them. Why? Because one of them is his chalutza, so he's not allowed to be Yabi Murray. Ray did chalutza on her. Neither was his brother allowed to marry her. It was not proper. Ooh, that's what we're going to get into, right? So now that's a very good question. The Gemara's not done. The Gemara's going to ask that. But now, so now Reuven cannot go and be Miyabim. Neither Shprinza, who of course he was already did Chalitza, or Yenta, even though he never had any relationship with Yenta previously, because Yenta was a co-wife with Shprinza, right? So that's the Gemara. So that's the case. Why don't we mention that in our Mishnah? Nisnei Sheshes Seinoshim Chalutza Poter Sarasa. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Derumio. Rabbi Yaakov from the south said, "Kum Rabbi Yosef from Rabbi Yosef v'lam alot Tanisa." Why didn't we say it? Begin to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, "Yesh mamzer b'chalutza," right? If you have relations with a woman who's a chalutza, she's still your eshesach, right? She's still your brother's wife, technically. That erva never fell off, and therefore her child, his progeny, is a mamzer. Now, what's relevant for that is it means that you can't marry your chalutza. Neither you nor a brother can marry Chalutza. So therefore, Levi could not have married Shprinza, right? He tried, but it didn't work. The premise of Reish Lakish's case is that Levi's marriage to the Shprinza was effective, but it wasn't, according to Rabbi Kiva. Says, maybe that's true, but Nisnini al Rabbanan. But according to Rabbanan, a Chalutza is no longer an Eshesach. A Chalutza, the Isser on a Chalutza is not the Isser of Eshesach anymore, but what is it only an Isser? Lav. Not an Isser Kares. And therefore marriage does work according to Rabbanan on a Chalutza. And therefore Levi's marriage to Shprinza was effective. So if that's the case, so let it be mentioned in our Mishnah. So it's more a little bit of a little bit of gup against the wall. Lo asina misne elamilin de kwama moidi behon. We didn't want to mention our Mishnah anything unless everybody agrees about it. In other words, this case is only possible in Rabbanan who hold that a marriage can be contracted by a chalutza. So if Levi's marriage to Shprinza was effective, and only according to him can we say that Shprinza paters Yenta from Yibum and Chalitza. But according to Rabbi Akiva holds, Levi's marriage to Shprinza was null and void, so Yenta is not a co-wife of a chalutza, and Yenta would still be chayv and Yibum. So he didn't want to mention a case which only works according to Rabbanan and not according to Rabbi Akiva.
Well,
not so simple. Gemara's going to get into it.
All the time, it's a mamzer from Chaim Alavin. So there's no proof from here that we're picking on Rabbi Kiva. It must be because of Isser Chalutza.
You're right. He holds Isser Chalutza itself, even though it's only Alav, says my marriage because you're right. I'm wrong. You're correct. I apologize. So it says more. Asked the Yitzchak bar Yistiyah, Yitzchak bar Yistiyah's question goes like Rabbi Ami. And what Rabbi Ami said, we'll see in a moment. Rabbi Yasso Mar, before him, we're going to bring Rabbi Yasso, argues Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yasso, who is Rabbi Yassi, says, Amar Yisbagun Rabbi Yochanan Rishim Elokish, Rabbi Yochanan Rishim Elokish, Adam Achluks. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hu Eino Chayev Ela Chalutza. This is interesting halacha, going to Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan says, if I did chalitza to a woman, right, or somebody did chalitza to his brother's wife, so he's chayv on a chalutza, right? I'm sorry, who ain't a chayv a chalutza? I apologize. He's not chayv koreis having relations with the chalutza, or marrying the chalutza, because by having done chalitza to her, he took off the iser veishasach vis-a-vis him. And the Gemara is going to explain later on how that works. But having done chalitza, ironically, he now is no longer, it's no longer his eish esach. Even though he never actually took her in, the eish esach issue on him was broken. So vis-a-vis him, he's not chayev. V'achin chayovin. But the brothers who didn't do chalitza to this woman, only he did chalitza, there was only one chalitza done, if they have relations with the chalutza, they are chayev koris. Because vis-a-vis the other brothers, she remains an Eish Esach. Is that clear? Fascinating concept, right? Regardless, Bein Hu Ala Bein Ha'achim Chayev Ha'atzara. On the co-wife of the Chalitza, you only have to Yimei Chalitza, it's one of many co-wives, right? If the brother, your deceased brother had four co-wives, only to Yimei Chalitza, it's one of them, and that works for all of them. So on the other wives, since they no procedure was ever done on them, they remained both vis-a-vis the cholets and vis-a-vis the other others in the pristine prohibition of Eish Esach, and therefore there's a chiyuv kares on them. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Lakashimar, Bein Hu Bein Achim, both he and his brothers, there's no kares on any of them. Why? Because once the Yibum Machalitz has been done, the spell is broken. There's no longer an Eish Esach prohibition in play. That's Rabbi Yasa. Rabbi Yami Machlish Mutzah. Rabbi Yami said the exact opposite. So Reish Lakish is the one who said that the Yisra Beish Esach still remains situationally. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds it broke off altogether. And the previous question on top, Yitzhar Bar Stia, in the name of Shimon Lakish, who said, let's say in our Mishnah, the concept of Tzoras Chalutza, that's going according to Rabbi Yami's learning. The Reish Lakish holds that a Chalutza becomes an erva vis-a-vis the other brothers. Okay? Says more further, Rabbi Ami, I'm Rabbi Zira Kum Rabbi Yasa. Rabbi Zira said Rabbi Yasa, but Rabbi Ami Machlush Masa. Then Rabbi Ami learned the exact opposite view. What you said, Rabbi Yochanan said, he said, Rishloi said, vice versa. Says more, Ela Deon Deon is Rabbi Yochanan. There are various opinions. Deon is Lashon of Deot, right? The opinions. There are various opinions as to what Rabbi Yochanan held. You might even say down, down. It should be lace. The Gilead of Ephraim changed it. Lace, Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe there's no difference in opinion what Rabbi Yochanan holds, but certainly down, down, down. Isra Rishim and Lakish. There's a difference in opinion as to what the Reish Lakish held. Well, the Reish Lakish held that the Chalutza, where he held that the situational prohibition of Eish Esach which still remain, or he holds the Yisra of Eish Esach falls off altogether. Right. Mm-hmm. It's unclear what Reish Lakish says. Now, Milsa the Yitzhar Bar Yistai Maseil Rabbi Ami. Yitzhar Bar Yistai's position is similar to that Rabbi Ami, that there is still a concept of Erva of Chalutza vis-a-vis another brother, right? And the Rabbanon's position is approved to Rabbi Yasa, who says that there is no prohibition of Erva vis-a-vis the other brothers once Chalitza is done on her. Dom Rabbi Yirmiyah Barba. Rabbi Yirmiyah Barba said, Treyom B'Shem Rabbi Chia, Rabbi and Rabbi Ba. Treyom, both said B'Shem Rechia Rabba, Ne Rechia Barba. Hakom Modim B'Tzor Shubuchayev. They both agree, these are the words of the Rabbanon, and these are the words of Rabban who agreed to Rabbi Yasa. That both, the words of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Ba. They both said, Ne Rechia Barba, Hakom Modim B'Tzor Shubuchayev. Everybody agrees, even with both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that on the co-wife, the spell is never broken. Meaning that she always remains an Eish Esach. Ma pli, what's the machlokis? By the chalutza herself. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, hu ein chayav al chalutza. He's not chayav al chalutza because he broke the spell on her. V'achin chayovin al chalutza. and the brothers are chayiv on the chalutza, because vis-a-vis them the spell was never broken. She's still an eshesach. Only vis-a-vis this guy, she's not an eshesach. Now milan the rabbanon. Right away we come to tremendous machloikis and pshat in lomdus, I should say. Milan the rabbanon mean chalitza ptur. What the rabbis say is that chalitza is a ptur. Now the Ritbaz brings down here is a tremendous machlokus. Is chalitza a kinyan or is chalitza a ptur? So the Ritbaz says beautiful. Oh, that's what you would think, right? Chalitza is a ptur, right? No, but so the other pshat is that chalitza makes a kinyan, meaning that until now she couldn't regard her as being a divorcee, right? Chalitza at the same moment creates the bond that snaps it. Because there's no such thing as divorce except from a marriage. And chalitza is what makes the divorce, but in order to do that, it has to affect the marriage. And the way the Rogatchev explains that is that it really is a question as to what zika is. What the relationship between Yavam and Yavama prior to Yibum is. Is it like marriage, just a quasi-marriage, or is it just a relay or just an obligation which is incumbent upon them and they have no relationship? And he says, yeah, but here it reflects, but this machlokas is not in the Bavli, reflected in what chalitza is. That to that point the Bavli never comes, it's only Nushami. And the Rogatchev says it really has to do with whether Zika is the cause or the effect. If you say Zika is the cause, right, that Zika is a state, right, so then chalitza is a ptur. If you say Zika is an effect, there is no such state as Zika. Just MZ, since they have to do Yimur chalitza, so until then we look at them, we have to look at them as being something, so we call it Zika, which means they have some sort of, you know, obligation to each other. But it's not a state in and of itself. So then...
But she's in limbo.
That's right, it's limbo. It's not a relationship, it's a limbo. That would be the other interpretation. So then chalitza is a kinyan. Because then chalitza is actually
the freezer once before.
Right. And that's the kinyan and the at the same time, because then Zika is just the state of limbo previously. Okay? So the words of Raza Rabbanon, to distinguish between the way the Pnei Moshe explains it, between a tzora and a chalutza, hold that a chalutza is a ptur and not a kinyan. Now we're gonna go into this in greater detail. But if you hold, let's see inside. Shim Rabbo asked Rabbi Yochanan, Ma ben choylitz, ma ben megarish. What's the difference between chalitza and divorce? Okay? In other words, after divorce, if your brother divorces his wife, she's still lost to you, right? Why after chalitza do I say she's also not still lost to you? Why do I say at that point it's only a lav and not a sukkaris? Why does chalitza, according to Rabbi Yochanan, downgrade the iser? So Amalei said, Atzavar chalitza is a kinyan. You hold chalitza as a kinyan, and now it's his wife, and he divorces her, or whatever, I don't know if the language of his wife is proper. But now he has the rights over her, he divorces her, and now she's like an eshesach who's been divorced. Well, she still remains an eshesach. And an eshesach who's divorced is still looking at Yitzhak Kores. But that's not true! Eina el ptur! Chalitza relinquishes whatever bond was there. Meaning there was a diminished bond to begin with, which is Zika. And that bond is now released by Chalitza. So therefore, there is no concept anymore of Eshesach. So it's a fascinating thing. If you hold Chalitza as a Kinyan, that means till now she was an Eshesach in limbo. With Chalitza, she became a definitive Eshesach, and at the same time that bond was severed, just like a divorce. But just like an Eshesach who's divorced, still an Eshesach. So to have the Chalitza, she's an Eshesach. But if you hold chalitza as a ptur, it means that Zika is a diminished state of marriage. Right? It's already, since the Torah downgraded her from a wife to a zkuka, let's call it, that's what the Gemara calls it, and then chalitza relinquishes even that bond. But she already lost her status of Eshesach. she's already on a much lower state. Okay? It's a fascinating tchakira, which is going to come up again and again throughout Masech the Yevamos. Okay? So, so again, atzavur chalitza kina ena ptur ena achim chayavim olam mishum isho shocholetz. However, that's the brothers. That's only vis-a-vis him. But the brothers then are chayav upon her because of the wife of the cholik. But they're chayav on her because of the brother of the because of their she's an eshesach. But it's vis-a-vis the cholik, he got the p'tur. But vis-a-vis the other brothers, again according to Pino, the other brothers still retain the character of eshesach. Vis-a-vis them, that prohibition still remains in effect. Okay, so that's how we're learning it. Okay, says Gemara, Rabbi Yudan bought. Rabbi Yudan asked the following question. Rabbi Yudan bought. Kamada. Because now she's just like an Asian South Chinese Garsha. Right. Even vis-a-vis him himself. Although the Gemara is going to discuss that now. Okay, but Yol Chalitz is a p'tur, so he gets off the hook. He gets off the hook because it's diminished. The brother still might remain on the hook. Because vis-a-vis them, Chalitz is a p'tur. Yol Chalitz? No. So now we're going to ask. Rabbi Yudan Boy, command of our coin demand armor who says, "Pain who pain achim inachayev and chutzah chayev and alzora." We haven't explained this man armor. There's an opinion which holds that none of them are chayev and chalutzah. That chalutzah is a p'tur to such an extent that nobody's chayev and chalutzah anymore. Okay, we had a machlokus. So we had every possible configuration. So now let's talk about the configuration holds that once she's a chalutza, everybody's off the hook. She's no longer an Asian Sachvis be anybody. Okay? Which implies, says one, Nicho, who ain't a chayav on chalutza? I understand that he's not chayav on chalutza, shekvar nir liftor ba. Because he stepped to the bat and he patted her. V'chayav al atzora, but he's chayav on the co-wife, shlo nir liftor ba, because he never stepped to the plate with the co-wife, right? But achin ma'ben chalutzo etzlo ma'mitzor etzlo. But by the brothers, what difference does it make? Why, according to that opinion in Rabbi Yochanan previously, is there a difference between the chalutzo and the tzoros vis-a-vis the other brothers? Vis-a-vis the other brothers, they never step to the plate. He's not their shliach. So if they never step to the plate, they should remain isereish asach on all, no matter what, whether it's chalutzo or the tzora. So says the Gemara, Chazer v'amar. So then, Rav Ami, who's speaking here? Rav Yudan. Rav Yudan came back and sat back and said, "No, Mat, I have an even more basic question than that. I don't even know more than that." Enat Yodea, he's talking to himself. You don't know. Mishum Mat Mechaivo. What's the answer anyway? What's the answer once Chalitza is done? Imishum ishto shel choletz, imishum ishto shel meis. Now, a fascinating question. He says, then again, vis-a-vis the other brothers, what's her prohibition now? Once chalitz has been done on her, is she still the wife of the dead brother, and therefore she's prohibited? Or is she now the wife of the brother who did chalitz on? And that's why she's prohibited. Right? It's a more basic question. What's her parameter? What's her parameter now? Why is she prohibited? Because of the Eishas HaMeis or the Eishas HaSach of the lie brother?
If she's the wife of the dead brother.
Yeah.
And let's say she had children.
Oh, then she's still Kares and all the other brothers. Sure. Right. That's right. The sister's wife is different. Right. Which is mutter, even if she had children, right?
So the basic question is, does the second brother steps
into
the
plate of
the same
book? Baseball and Gemara. Ah, yes.
That's his book.
Yeah. That's right. So says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosef said, Ma'at Sofer. You can't. What's the premise of your question? The premise of your question is chalitza kinyan. Of course, the premise of your question that now vis-a-vis the other brothers, her prohibition is because she was the wife of the live brother, can only be based on the svara that chalitza is a kinyan, right? That at the same moment it's both a kinyan and a gerushin, right? It's like kedusha gerushin basachas, right? However, ain oil ptur. It's not true. It's only a ptur. So therefore, they're not chayev on her because of the wife of the cholitz, because it's a ptur, not a kinyan. Now here it says chayovin alem mishum ishlo shomeis. They're chayev because of the wife of the deceased, right? But eshesach. But actually, the korban eder changes the girsa. Now that I look at it now, I don't see why he has to do it, but he does change. He does propose to change it. He says, "Al chayavin al tzaros mishum ishto shel meis." And he's doing this in order to get back. Now he's doing it in order to get back to Amidav. Because bear in mind, the whole question Rabbi Yehuda began with is why on the chalitza, according to people, chose that neither he nor the brothers are chayim on the chalitza anymore because of Eishesach, but the chayim on the tzora because of Eishesach. So the Kormei is trying to get the Gemara to explain that. That's why he changed the girsa. That they're not chayiv on her because she's the wife of the choletz, and he could read al chayiv lemishum ishto shemetz, but the chayiv on her because she's the wife of the deceased. But remember, we're trying to go back to Reb Yudin's original question, which is according to the opinion holds that nobody's chayiv on her anymore because of one of them did chalitza. So he's trying to explain that again. He's trying to coax the girsa to say the chalitza is a ptur, not just vis-a-vis that one individual brother who did it, but vis-a-vis all of them. But of course, the tzara of a chayovin al tzarasa, the way he changes the girsa, but on the co-wife mishumisha shemes, of course, she never had a ptur to undergo, and therefore she's still considered to be the wife of the deceased. Now, Rabbi Yehuda asked another question. Rabbi Yehuda, boy, it is geshmaki more. It's hard, but it's geshmaki. Sink your teeth into this one, right? Rabbi Yehuda asked, "Command the Marakom Modim Shu Tzara B'Tzara Shu Ki Chayev." According to people who chose, everybody agrees on the co-wife that the Chayev Misa, because the Chayev Koyitz because of Eishesach. Kiddush Echol Min Hashuk. This is a cool case. Is a really a cool case. Kiddush Echol Min Hashuk is Achaz Min. Okay, there are two co-wives. The husband died, two co-wives. No brother has yet stepped to the plate. In the meantime, some guy comes from the marketplace. Some guy is not related. He comes and marries one of the co-wives. It's really a brei reish, what's going to happen here. He comes and marries one of the co-wives, right? Uvay Yavam, and Yavam came, the Chalatzlan, he did Chalitza to this woman. Uba, it could be Oba. And he came, Obala, it should be Obala. Or he had relations with her. So then, if we make Kedusha, then obviously the marriage doesn't work. Marriage doesn't work because obviously his rights come first. And once he did Chalitza Ibum, he asserted his rights, and that's it. The marriage doesn't work. But what about Chalitza Chaverto Obala? If he did the Chalitza Bia to the other wife, to the co wife. So does it, Lemafre Cholole Kedushin? Does it work retroactively? Is there brayer when we say that the kiddushin on the first co-wife works? You see, if he did chalitza or bia on that for wife upon which the stranger did kiddushin, the house kiddushin is null and void. But what if he did bia or chalitza on the second wife, the co-wife? Retroactively, they say the kiddushin worked on this wife. So it's really it's a brayer question as far as I can tell, but the Gemara doesn't treat it as such. Rabbi Simon said, "Lokin and Rabbi Yanai." Then Rabbi Yanai say, "Nimnu shloshim, the commas came. 30 some odd elders voted. Minayin shake, and they said minayin shake kedushin tefsi yivama. How do we know that marriage doesn't take place yivama? Your question doesn't start. Marriage is not effective in the yivama, as you said. It's kuka. There's no marriage. Tamu loymar, because the post says lo tiyeshes ameis achutzulish zor." Says as long as nothing has been done, she can't go to a foreign man. She can't marry somebody else. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Zera, "Hey, is it Rabbi Zera or to Rabbi Yara? For lo mas di, isn't this also a Mishnah? If a man marries a woman who's a Yavam and says, this marriage should work after your Yavam does chalitza to you, it's not about Kiddushin. Because there's no marriage until marriage cannot take effect, even out tonight, until after chalitza takes place. So says the Gemara, Vayod should be Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai, Mekalis Rabbi Yanai, praise Rabbi Yochanan to such an extent. What a gewaldic thing he did to figure out that this Mishnah says the same thing. He said, Hazolim Zod Mikis, gold flows from their pockets. Bani Ali Elizu Me'enecho, my children, they should not move from your eyes. Chachim B'ni V'samach Libi, be joyful, my son, and my heart will rejoice. Tehle Chachim V'yechamo, give a wise man and become more wise. Yishma Chachim V'yosif Lekach, and the wise man will learn more things. Oh, Rabbi Yochum was gewaldic. Rabbi Yochum found it out in the Mishnah. Says one Rabbi Shimon Lakish, this. Besides calling Kulusaya, after all these praises, Rabbi Yochum is not necessarily correct. Why is not necessarily correct? We'll see tomorrow night. Rabbi Shimon Lakish was the party pooper.